Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com, live Bridgestone Arena, Preds and Sharks tonight. Pekka goes for win 300. He's Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. Okay, Floyd. So the hot topic of the NFL draft is now we're really starting to get into draft season. The combine is next week. Everything is behind us. The hot topic of the NFL draft has been, wait for it, wait for it, Lamar Jackson, the quarterback at Louisville. See, what happens is they take these, they take the guys that they think will be the hot topics, and then they talk about them, and they see how much people care. And then when they see how much people care, if they care a lot about it, like Johnny Manziel, they keep talking it. And if they don't care a lot, then they stop talking it because people don't care. So, like, Baker Mayfield is somebody that I don't think people really care about that much because they tried talking him a lot. Like, oh, is Baker good enough to go to the Jets? Is Baker too tall? Did Baker fit with Denver? What about Baker? Baker, Baker, and nobody cared. Then Bill Polian goes on the radio and says, Lamar Jackson's a wide receiver. And now I haven't seen a day of ESPN where they haven't talked about Lamar Jackson. Now, I would say this. I think there's two sides of this. There's the Lamar Jackson's going to be a star camp, and there's the Lamar Jackson should switch to wide receiver camp. I belong in neither of those camps. I can see a scenario where Lamar Jackson works out as a quarterback in the NFL, and I can see a scenario where he doesn't. I'm open to all breakdowns and everything, but when I hear you and Bill Polian both say Lamar Jackson should be a wide receiver, I kind of lean that you guys are probably right and I'm probably wrong because y'all have been to Super Bowls and I haven't. So, Floyd, if Lamar Jackson called you, because Lamar doesn't have an agent, Lamar's not working with a quarterback guru, and Lamar will go to the combine next week, and I think he'll go as a quarterback.
He's not working with a quarterback guru?
No.
Well, that tells you something, doesn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, every quarterback getting ready for this thing is working with a quarterback guru someplace.
I think his mom thinks that she can handle all this. I'm dead serious about that.
That tells you something, too. It's right there.
Supposedly, he has not even enlisted the help of Bobby Petrino. So, no agent, no coach, no guru. So, anywho, if Lamar called you, because he's watching TV and everyone's saying, is he a quarterback? Is he a receiver? I think Mel Kiper has him ranked as either the fourth or fifth best quarterback in this draft. Floyd, if Lamar Jackson called you and said, Floyd, I know you are a Super Bowl general manager. I know Bill Belichick trusts your opinion. I want to know what I should do with my career in order to make it in the NFL, what would you tell Lamar Jackson?
I would tell him to do whatever people want him to do. Because in spite of what he thinks, and I know what he thinks, you know, every kid that's played quarterback wants to be a quarterback. And I understand that completely. But not everybody can be a quarterback. And if they tell him that he can play as a slot receiver, he can play as something else immediately, or not immediately, but within reason, then that's what I would do. It's not going to do him any good, even though he could be a quarterback, to be a practice squad quarterback for 3 years and then end up being a backup his entire career, you know, and getting 10 starts. I mean, that's not what he wants. If you could go out there and get a receiver position, and because this kid is electric with the ball in his hand. I mean, electric. And if they say, okay, guess what? You come into camp, you go to OTAs, you do everything, and by the middle of next year, you'll be a starting slot receiver for our team, then that's what he needs to do.
Now, what if he says, but Floyd, I'm convinced I can play quarterback at the NFL level.
You give it a try. But, I mean, he's going to get cut.
I think someone's going to bite. You know the whole theory of it only takes one general manager, and it only took one guy to want Tebow, and he went 25th overall.
Right.
I think there's going to be one guy out there in the first or second round that wants Lamar Jackson as a quarterback.
Maybe.
Now, I don't know exactly – but it sounds like you wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole at quarterback.
No. In my mind, he's not a quarterback. I mean, and if he is a quarterback, he's 3, 4, 5 years down the road. I mean, it's going to be a long, drawn-out process for him. And it's nothing against him. I mean, it's nothing. I mean, it's just like you say. He's right now. He's listening to mom. I mean, he's not. If he wanted to be a quarterback, he would be listening to every single person that knows anything about quarterbacking, because I mean, we all know that he's not. That's not been his forte. You know, throwing the ball has not been the way that he won the Heisman. He won the Heisman because nobody could touch him. Nobody could tackle him. He would tear everybody on the football field. Everybody knew he was going to have the ball in his hand, and still people couldn't do anything about it. So that's the thing that makes him electric in my mind.
If a quarterback can make $27.5 million a year like Jimmy Garoppolo is, though, wouldn't it be in his best financial interest to at least try to be a quarterback? And then if that doesn't work out, go to receiver, where the best receivers are making $16 million a year?
Sure. If you could get to a point you're making $27 million a year.
Well, I mean, if you're a starter, you're going to make $20 million plus a year. That's just the right. Going right now in the NFL. So if Lamar sticks as a starter, he's going to get $20
million. Right.
So if you're Lamar, why would you not try it out at quarterback? And then if you can't do it at quarterback, then go to receiver and then make, you know, $10 million a year.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. Except you're now, instead of you having a 23-year-old receiver that's got 7 years in front of him, now you've got a 26, 27-year-old receiver that's got 2 years in front of him, 3 years in front of him. You're not very excited about that.
Who would you rather have as a quarterback, him or Terrell Pryor Sr.?
Where's Terrell? What's Terrell Pryor?
When Terrell Pryor came out.
What does Terrell Pryor play now?
Wide receiver.
There you go.
Trevor Maddich on our show Tuesday about Lamar Jackson.
In college, a quarterback is a running back with an arm. In the NFL, a quarterback is a Rhodes Scholar with an arm. And Lamar Jackson has been very much a running back with an arm. His freshman year, he burst onto the scene. And your word was electrifying, Floyd. He burst onto the scene making plays everywhere. But he will tell you that his freshman year, he didn't even know what down and distance it was sometimes. Last year, for the first time, he started to learn a little bit about defense. And he improved. I mean, his completion percentage improved by 4 points or so. And so there are things that he improved at. You could see him working to get into the game. Some of the pocket presence, ball security techniques that a pocket passer in the NFL would need. His coach, Bobby Petrino, helped him with that, and he improved. But the fact still remains, now if we go to the Rhodes Scholar with an arm in the NFL, he still only has 1 year as a college quarterback where he even tried to see what the defense was doing.
What do you make of the Rhodes Scholar with an arm as opposed to a running back with an arm?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the difference between a college quarterback and a pro quarterback is the difference between night and day. I mean, they're not even in the same planet. And, I mean, you can go into college and you can line up and have a series of 5, 7, 10 plays that you run and make a living doing it. In the NFL, I mean, you can't even get a drive going with that many plays. So, I mean, it's and we've talked about guys that have been in systems where they have thrown the ball and thrown the ball very effectively, a la Marcus Mariota. And what do we say about him? You know, well, geez, why'd he throw that ball? Well, what, you know, the receiver, well, this, that. I mean, there's so many things that go into being a college quarterback, I mean, a pro quarterback, that, you know, I can't even quantify it. I don't even know how to talk about it, but it's a world of difference.
I mean, I just look at it and I say that, I mean, Marcus throwing the ball compared to Lamar throwing the ball, it's not even close.
Right.
I mean, and I watched every game basically Lamar played in college. It's not even close. Marcus is a much better passer. I say Teddy Bridgewater is a much better passer when it came to quarterback than Lamar Jackson. And I'm not saying that Lamar was a terrible passer in college, but what's open in the – I mean, Lamar threw like 3 picks in the bowl against Mississippi State coaching with like a backup interim coach. And he threw like 3 or 4 picks, including ones where they throw it behind the guy, hit the guy in the hands, and then it fall into the arms of the defensive back. Well, in the NFL, instead of it hitting you throwing it behind the guy and it hitting him in his hands, you just throw it right to the defensive back. And that's the difference. Now, there is another thing that's come up about this that I don't believe. And that is that some of the, I shouldn't say anti-Lamar Jackson, but the non-believers in Lamar Jackson carry racial undertones to them. Like, for example, Ryan Clark, the ESPN analyst,
yeah,
tweeted out, So Lamar Jackson, who won the Heisman and was college football's most dynamic player as a quarterback, can't play quarterback? Question mark. Oh, and they showed us Johnny had first-round QB skills. Also made sure we knew that Baker just lets his leadership and competitiveness get the best of him sometimes. We hear you again. And that, of course, being the they and the we and the whatever you want to say it. I mean, no offense, but Floyd, I'm pretty sure you're not racist. I mean, you took Steve McNair in the first round and you took Vince Young in the first round. So
I worked with three quarterbacks for a period of time in my career, Warren Moon, Steve McNair, and Vince Young. So
I guess it's fair to say you are.
I would say I don't bear that cross. I mean, so, I may have a lot of issues, but that is not one of them.
So you are the least racist, in my opinion, that you can be. It's not, to me, it's, I think everybody wants good football players. It's not a race thing with Lamar Jackson, just like it's not a religious thing with Tim Tebow.
Well, you only have to watch the games with Jackson. I mean, what was everybody scared of? Was everybody scared he was going to throw a pinpoint dart down the field? The guys, no. Everybody's scared he's going to pull it down and run it. That's what petrified people. And it was because he was so good at it. Now, is he going to throw this? Yeah, but he didn't throw the ball any better than the guy at Georgia or the guy at Alabama or the guy, you know, wherever. I mean, there are a bunch of college quarterbacks that threw the ball as well as he did. But if they couldn't run, you know, you didn't really care. Yeah, go ahead and throw it. Okay, fine. He throws when people are wide open. He can find them and he can put the ball on them. I'll say that. I think his problem comes when it has to do with reading defenses and knowing what to do with a ball and being accurate with it then. And that's because most of the time, if you watch what he's doing, I mean, he's running some kind of RPO or read option of some sort, and he's going to pull the ball down and go 60 yards with it. I mean, he was special running the ball.
615-737-1025. Again, this is going to be, I think, the most debated topic of draft season. And I think somebody's going to take him.
Yeah, I don't. You know what? I mean, they took Tebow. So why not?
615-737-1025. We'll get to your calls and your tweets at Jared Stillman. We're live out at Bridgestone Arena. Plus, there's one guy for the Titans who is not under contract for next year. And maybe might be critical to their success. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM, we started off today's show talking about the draft and free agency and trades if the Titans make them, but about how hard it is to find free agents and guys that are going to come in and fit what they want to do. And we know one of the needs for the Titans, Floyd, is free agent. Or excuse me, is wide receiver. And Jarvis Landry, $16 million on the cap. It looks like Sammy Watkins is going to get tagged on the cap. And even if he doesn't get tagged, he's going to cost you, what, $15
million? Yeah. I mean, hit
on a four-year deal?
Depends on who signs first.
So you're looking at big money if you sign a free agent wide receiver. You pick at 25, and they tell us that wide receiver is not a deep draft, or there's not a deep crop of wide receivers in this draft. And even if you do draft a wide receiver, we saw last year how long it takes for the rookie wide receivers to really get going. Well, we never know if these guys are going to get going anyways, but which takes me to the one guy that they don't have under contract, and that's Eric Decker. And the Tennessean wrote about this, Jason Wolf. Decker turns 31 in March, but he led all Titans receivers with 54 catches last year and finished second behind Rishard Matthews with 563 yards and a touchdown. He also caught the game-winning score in the Titans' wild card victory against the Chiefs. Much more will be expected from Davis and Taywan Taylor after relatively disappointing rookie seasons. I wouldn't say relatively disappointing. I would say just disappointing. After relatively disappointing rookie seasons, but it wouldn't hurt to keep the versatile veteran around. Decker signed a one-year, $4 million deal last offseason and would like to remain in Nashville. His wife, Jessie James Decker, is a country music singer. Side note, I've never heard her sing, but whatever. So, anywho, do you bring Decker back? Does it become that this team needs to re-sign Eric Decker? Because as much as Decker and Ige drive me crazy sometimes, and he can't really run, and really the only balls he's good at catching are when he stops and then you throw it to him. But yet at the same time, you know, there's a part of me that's like, well, if you're going to come back with Davis and Taylor and Matthews and, you know, if you're going to pay Watkins $15 million, what's paying Decker $4 million? I don't know. I just.
You know, he was our leading receiver, right?
In terms of catches,
the best receiver we had?
Led the team in catches, second in yards.
Okay. But he got more balls than anybody else on the football team.
So would you bring him back?
There were actually people last year that were questioning whether or not we should bring him in. Can you believe that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought the fifth overall pick was actually going to catch a ball.
Can you believe that?
I can't believe I thought that Corey Davis, who didn't run a 40.
And then we got mad because of his wife, and she was a singer, and she was going to destroy the locker room.
And they had to tell her to stop tweeting about the coaching. All right, do we want to get into your Dean Pease take?
Short memory.
All right, do we want to get into your Dean Pease take?
Dean Pease.
You said Dean Pease stunk, and then they hired Dean Pease, and you were like, Dean Pease is good.
I never said Dean Pease stunk.
Yes, you did.
When did I say that?
When I got all bent out of shape before the New England game about Dick LeBeau, because remember, Dick LeBeau's numbers versus Brady were horrible. And I was like, you know, I'm worried about Dick LeBeau. And you said, well, name me a defensive coordinator who's not bad against Brady. And I was like, Dean Pease at Baltimore. Dean Pease is a – and you were like, yeah. And what happened to Dean Pease in New England? And Dean Pease – and you kind of got on Dean Pease. And then, you know, they hired Dean Pease.
I have worked with Dean Pease. I've known Dean for 4 years. I mean, I've worked with him for 4 years.
I know. That's why I let it go and didn't bring it up until you brought that up.
Oh, I think you were mistaken, or I misspoke, or I whatever. But Dean, Dean is a very well-respected guy.
And I've been a believer in Dean.
Oh, yeah. Believer in Decker.
I told you before the New England game, you said, who's a good defensive coordinator? I said, Dean Pease. And so when they hired Dean Pease, I was like, yes. So that's how I felt there. But back to Decker. Do they need to bring Decker back? I don't know. If you can get better than Decker, then no, you don't need Decker back. But the question is, can you get better than Decker?
Well, I have no idea. I mean, that's where you got to look and see what's out there. But, I mean, I certainly wouldn't be sending him away until we knew. I mean, he's your leading receiver.
but don't you have to decide that before – don't you have to decide whether or not you're going to bring him back before you can find out who you can get? Because if Decker hits free agency, there's no guarantee you're going to be able to bring him back.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you'll have an idea of who you can get before free agency.
Plus, are you really worried that Decker's going to get snatched up on day one?
I mean, he could. I don't know. I mean, he's, you know, you've seen the list of guys that are potentially out there. Doesn't look like a lot of world beaters to me. So, I mean, I would certainly, you know, the one that you have, you know what kind of guy he is. You know how he's going to practice. Quarterback has confidence in all those kinds of things. All of that is better than bringing in the same thing and starting all over.
Mm. Chris Sanders was on our show yesterday. I asked him, would he draft a receiver? Would he trade for a receiver? Would he sign a receiver? Or would he keep what he's got? This is what Chris Sanders said yesterday.
I just think that you stick with the guys that you have. I mean, if you look at in free agency, who's out there? There's not too many guys that kind of really wow you that's going to come in and make some plays. And then now if you go get somebody in the draft, now you're doing the same thing that you did with Davis last year. He's got to learn the verbiage of an NFL player. So I just think that, you know, a lot of these guys that the Tennessee Titans, Matthews, Davis, a lot of these guys have a couple of years under their belt. So now the key is Rob Moore, the new Tennessee Titans receiver coach, he's got to teach them how to run routes. He's got to teach them how to get open. He's got to teach them how to become these guys have to become impact players. And if he can do that, I think the sky's the limit for these receivers that they have now.
So Chris says bring them all back. If you bring them all back, you might as well bring Decker back. But I just want the Titans to have good receivers. I'm so tired of bad receivers. I'm so tired of Nate Washington. And I'm so tired of Dorial Green Beckham and Justin Hunter. And I'm so tired of Corey Davis and bad receivers. I'm so tired of it. I want good receivers. And here we are talking about Decker coming back. Floyd, I want good receivers.
Leading receiver.
I said I want good receivers. Does that make them good?
Good for us.
I want good receivers. That's all I want. I want Tampa Bay's wide receivers. I want Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson. I want Philadelphia's wide receivers. I want good receivers. Why can't they give me good receivers?
I'm sure they'd love to have them.
I want Pittsburgh's wide receivers.
Oh, yeah.
Jacksonville's wide receivers. I want some receivers. And now it's depressing me talking about bringing Eric Decker back, not because I think Eric Decker's not good, which I don't think he's good, but I don't think he's bad. And by the way, he cannot do what he did at the end of last year when he forgot how to catch the ball for a little bit. We can't have that. But I want good receivers. I don't want every third down to be thrown to the tight end. Because eventually, good teams are going to not let you do that. Case in point, the Patriots. Oh, I just want some good receivers. Is that too much to ask for? I'm not asking for Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald, although that would not be bad. I'm just asking for some good receivers. Oh, what's it going to take, Floyd, to get me some good receivers?
I have no clue.
Adam's up next, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What's up, Adam?
Well, I wanted to agree with you, but you offended me.
How like, so?
Because, it's a few topics that you get on, and I'm sitting here, like when you talk about Jeff Fisher, I just turn my radio down until that segment's over with. The same thing with Nate Washington. I hear his name lumped in with all that garbage, and I'm like, what did he ever do wrong? That dude... He ran a good route. He was a burner. He was really the only thing nice we had when we had him. He had garbage throwing him the football forever. So I don't even call to talk about Nate, but I love Nate. I can't believe you group his name with him.
Go back. But, go to your original point.
Eric Decker, I think he should be retained just for the fact that you changed your offense. If you didn't change your offense and you wanted to change wide receivers, and I would say, yeah, it's whatever. He didn't perform the way he needed to. But if you can get him cheap enough with us changing offensive coordinators, then, yeah, you got to keep him because Mariota, whether you see it or not, he built some type of chemistry with him towards the end.
Thank you for the call, Adam. Floyd, what do you think?
I think he's probably got a good point. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. Marcus has confidence in him.
When he decides to catch it.
Where he's going to be, which is really, really important. Because that was one of the things that he missed with a lot of the other guys. So, I mean, and again, that makes you wonder, you know, if a guy's got to be a 7-year vet to figure out where to be, I mean, that's a little bit scary. That's why you hope maybe a new program coming in will change all that, get it all fixed.
Does he play like any of the Rams wide receivers? Speaking of teams whose wide receivers I want. Matt LaFleur has coached Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Sammy Watkins, Robert Woods, and Tavon Austin, and now he's got Matthews and Davis and Decker, if they bring Decker back. I just want some receivers. That's all I want, just a little bit. 615-737-1025, back to your calls, plus at Jared Stillman on Twitter. We'll get to those as well. It's Jared and the GM right here, live from Bridgestone Arena on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At the pick number 25 with the Tennessee Titans and Ronald Jones a second. He was as valuable to that team as anybody, including Sam Darnold. He had a better year. Smooth runner, great kid, hard worker. I think if DeMarco Murray moves on and you have a guy like Derrick Henry, you need a complimentary guy, and Ronald Jones would be that guy in Tennessee at pick number 25.
Mel Kiper Jr. on ESPN. Titans taking a running back at 25. No, no, no. I want some receivers. I don't care how it takes to get them. I want receivers and I want good ones. And Floyd, I think you are finally realizing what it's like for 25 years of pain at wide receiver. Really 20 years. 20 years of pain at wide receiver outside of Derek Mason, Chris Sanders, and for about a year, Kevin Dyson. Everything else... Drew Bennett was pretty good. Justin McCarron's was okay. Everything else has been Kendall Wright or what was the guy? Carl Pickens or Yancey Thigpen or Tyrone Calico or Corey Davis. And it's time for some receivers. I want some receivers. Some good ones. So we are going to go on a mission, you and I. We will scour the free agent market, the trade market, and the draft, and we will find John Robinson some receivers. Can we do that?
We?
Yes.
Is that we?
You obviously need my help. I need to be the one that says, you know, Floyd, I actually think that that guy from Marshall is better than that guy from Utah. That's what you need me for. Your trusted sidekick. And we will find John Robinson those receivers. So whoever's listening for the Titans, and I know a lot of people over there listen, so I know they're listening right now, go to it. Take a note to John Robinson. Take a note to John Robinson right now and just write down on it, Jared and Floyd have promised to find the receivers. So you don't have to worry whatsoever about finding the receivers this year. We'll just tell you who to take and when to take them. How's that sound?
I'm sure John will sleep a lot better tonight.
All right, but then we got to get on it. We got to stop hosting radio shows and get to pro days. Let's go to your phones. Will is up next, 615-737-1025 on the Titans receivers. What's up, Will?
Hey, what's up, guys? Free agent wide receiver, I think, makes sense. Paul Richardson of the Seahawks, he's a burner. He's only 25, I believe, 25 or 26. He would immediately compete for the second wide receiver spot with Rashard. His numbers aren't crazy, but like I said, he's consistent. He's a burner. He has good yards per catch. What do y'all think?
Floyd?
He is, I think the caller hit him right on the head. I mean, the guy runs well. He hasn't caught the ball as well as you would like, but that's not uncommon with, you know, a lot of speed guys. But he has, you know, in a system where they really, you know, there are so many things there that are done on the move that, you know, he kind of gets honed in on a guy or two, and that's where the ball's going. But Richardson is a highly skilled guy, and I'm sure he wouldn't be a top dollar guy, although if all these other guys get franchised, then he may end up being a top dollar guy.
Whenever I think of Paul Richardson, I think about when you got him confused for Doug Baldwin. So when his name came up, you were like, oh, he's awesome. He'd be perfect, and he does the – and I'm like, really? You think that about Paul Richardson? You're like, oh, no, Baldwin. I was like, well, yeah, Baldwin.
Yeah, well, Baldwin, Wilson and Baldwin were joined at the hip. I mean, those guys, they could throw to each other in the dark.
I mean, I just remember one day you brought up the fact that at the end of the day, Wilson will always throw the ball to Baldwin. And yeah. Steve McNair was like that with D-Mace. Like, he would just throw it to D-Mace. But there was one play where Russell, in that night, it was a Thursday night game against Arizona. Russell ran around for about 2 minutes and then chucked it. And then Doug Baldwin caught it and, like, ran for 30 yards or something. And I was like, oh, there he is throwing to Baldwin. Glenn is up next on Corey Davis. Thank you for calling. What's up, Glenn?
Yeah, hey, I had two quick questions. The first one, I've been meaning to ask this for a while. Obviously I'm not a general manager or coach, but how much did Corey Davis missing training camp hurt his development this year and then the subsequent injury after he got back in the field? That was my first question about Corey Davis.
You know, it hurt him a lot.
Thanks, Glenn.
It's hard for anybody to miss camp. But when you're a receiver and you maybe didn't have a real extensive route tree wherever you came from, if it was a smaller college in a smaller conference, then, you know, it's even a little bit less than that. And for you to jump into a pro passing system and try to get it mentally is really, really hard. You miss time on the practice field and then get hurt right after that, and you're almost so far behind the eight ball you can never catch up. And I think we saw that. You know, I think he literally lost his rookie season because of the injuries. And they weren't just in camp. I mean, he was hurt at the combine, during the combine, after the combine, during pro day. I mean, he was hurt a lot. So hopefully all that's behind us and we can get started fresh.
Isn't that – I mean, I don't want to say that's like a lazy thing, but – and I'm not talking about him being lazy, but like I feel like it's lazy just to put two and two together to say, oh, Davis struggled because he missed training camp. Because Taywan Taylor struggled too, and he didn't miss training camp. So I think their struggles might be related. And I think those two guys struggling are the number one thing that John Robinson wanted to get rid of Terry Robiskie for?
I mean, I don't think there's any doubt but the lack of performance from those guys, and then you throw Marcus in on top of that. You throw not that anybody expects a rookie to come in and tear it up, but you do expect a rookie, especially a fifth pick, to come in and produce something. You know, be a guy that can, at the end of the season, end up winning a game for them, or you know, catch 40 or 50 balls, or do something to where you are a part of the program. And I mean, he, you know, you can almost count on your fingers the number of catches that he made that were really memorable in key performances, you know, in big, tough times.
Who would you rather pay $4 million to next year, Eric Decker or Danny Amendola? Danny Amendola made $1.7 last year for the Patriots. Decker made $4 million last year for the Titans. Both are free agents. Amendola's 32, Decker's 30.
Yeah, Amendola, of course, every year has been there, has taken a pay cut.
So, but if you offered him $4 million, I mean, hard to turn down $4 million when you've been making $1.7 million.
Yeah, although he's, I mean, like I said, he's had chances to go other places and has taken a pay cut to stay there every year. I think he started off about $4 million.
I mean, so, he was the replacement for Welker before Edelman became the replacement for
Welker.
Yeah,
so, I mean, he's lived through this, and I don't know. You know, again, Amendola is a really, really good receiver in the right system. But you take him and try to make him an outside receiver and line up against a corner of any quality at all, and he's really going to struggle.
So you'd rather pay Decker $4 million than Amendola $4 million?
I mean, I'm not sure I want to pay either one $4 million. But, I mean, Decker, I'll say this. Decker would have a better chance of being a down-in, down-out, line-up at a spot and get some kind of success, snap after snap, game after game, than Amendola.
Mm.
Because Amendola will not be able to do a bunch of the things getting off the line and do. I mean, they use him in a very specific spot.
Let's go to Dennis, who's up next here on Jared and the GM live out of Bridgestone Arena where the Preds play tonight. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, guys. I would rather pay $4 to $6 million for Allen Robinson over either one of those last two.
Amen.
Yeah, but you'd have to pay like $13 million or $15 million if you want Allen Robinson.
You think so? After a down year in an ACL, you don't think we could get him for Alshon Jeffrey money?
Well, there's talk about them franchise tagging him, and that's $16 million, so I'm going to say no.
Okay, I hadn't heard any franchise talk on him yet.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting if they don't franchise him to see what happens, because we've seen him be a productive guy. Now, he is coming off an ACL, and a receiver that will affect. I mean, he'll have to play some time and work his way back into it, and you know, hit that magic moment where he realizes it's okay before he's back to 1,000%. But, I mean, he's certainly got more upside than all the people we're talking about.
Well, I think one of the ones that I looked at as a free agent is like Dante Moncrief with the Colts. He's 24 years old and last year had a really disappointing season and has had a disappointing career that got off to a really good start. I mean, when Moncrief was a rookie, you thought Moncrief and Hilton were the next Harrison and Wayne. And it didn't really work out that way. But if you think enough of the physical skills of Dante Moncrief that you bring him in, then maybe you're buying low on a guy who could be pretty good. But again, I'm here begging for good receivers, and Dante Moncrief had in 12 games last year, Dante Moncrief had 391 yards.
Yeah. I mean, I think all those kind of guys are a shot in the dark. I mean, when you do a contract with those guys, you say, okay, I'm willing to pay you $2 million. I'm just throwing out a number. $2 million, and I will give you this incentive package and make the incentive package attractive so that if you come here and you catch for 400 yards, you're only going to make $2 million. But if you catch for 1,000 yards, you're going to make, $6 million. Something, whatever the number is, and really make it so that if he's productive, he gets a bunch of money. I think that's, but, you know, it's like the Dorsett kid at New England. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he's got all the talent in the world, but, I mean, he can't play. Now, maybe New England will get him right and get him fixed. But right now, I mean, the truth is, you know, the chances of you getting a receiver in the fourth round are as good as you getting a receiver in the first.
I hate that. Oh, I hate that. We'll take more of your calls. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Plus, I'm so proud. I'm so proud. I'll tell you why I'm proud next. It's Jerry and the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game.
We go round by round. Jocelyn Lamoureux. Two goals apiece in the shootout. Lamoureux moving in on Zabanas. She deeks and scores!
Oh, my gosh. That's electrifying. That's as good as you're going to see anywhere.
Great move, great hands, great deception. Finding the hole right there. We saw her take a shootout earlier in this tournament, unable to capitalize. Makes it count today.
Must beat Rooney to keep Canada's hopes alive. She is stuck! The United States wins gold in Pyeongchang!
I'm so proud. We won the gold medal last night in women's ice hockey, beating Canada, the first time Canada has lost since we beat them in 98.
20 years.
And I'm so proud. So proud. Now, I wasn't proud enough to stay up last night to watch it, but I was proud. I wish they would have put it more towards about 8 o'clock or so. But it started so late that, like, I'm watching it for a little bit, and I'm like, okay, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. But it was exciting, and I was glad we won the ice hockey game and the women's team won the gold medal. And it takes all the – well, not all, but it takes a little bit of what I was disappointed about in the men's ice hockey about us not using real players. It took that out, and it made me really proud of Team USA's women's hockey team. And so congratulations to them, and I'm going to watch the replay because I didn't watch the whole game, obviously. I went to bed last night, but I was very proud of them in the Olympics.
Great win, I'll tell you what. And the way they won it, you know, you can imagine here you're a parent and your twin daughters tie the game. Then you've got it. The other twin goes out there and finds a way to win it in unbelievable fashion. The shot, her shot to win the thing was as nifty as I've seen anybody do. I mean, it was outstanding. And then for the goalie to finally finish it off, I mean, it was big. Great win.
Okay, now with that.
It was a good night, though, for Winter Olympics last night. You know that, right?
I mean, it was good because we won the gold in ice hockey and curling, right? No, curling, we beat
Canada. Curling's today. We're getting ready. We're going for gold.
We beat Canada in the semifinals yesterday in curling.
But we're going for the gold now.
Great.
But you missed the – did you see the relay in the cross country that we won? Goal? You missed that. Tremendous finish. Outstanding. Coming from behind in a tremendously gutsy performance. I mean, I was really, really impressed. So, I mean, there were a lot of good things that went on.
What were you saying? Sorry, I was taking a little nap there. So very exhausting, you know. So we got a new homework assignment, by the way.
Yeah.
So, as we promised.
You keep using we.
As it was a group project.
I'll be interested to see your work.
As we as we were discussing, we're going to tell John Robinson what wide receivers to draft. Because, again, I'm sick and tired of the Titans having bad wide receivers. So, I want Pittsburgh's receivers. I want Jacksonville's receivers or the Rams' receivers. Or I want those kind of receivers. So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to come up with 8 wide receivers. Jared and the GM are going to come up with 8 wide receivers. We're going to come up with 2 trades. We're going to come up with 3 draft picks and three free agents. We're going to take that list of 8 to John Robinson, and that's going to be our list of wide receivers the Titans need to grab. And they need to get 2 or 3 from that group. We're going to give them 8. They need to get 2. If they can get 2 of our 8, we'll feel good about where they are. But that'll be a group project, so it will be equally as much the responsibility will be equal amongst you and me.
How's that humanly possible?
I'm going to say, Floyd, who do we like? And then I'm going to take, and then I will, we'll come up with it, and then we'll take it over to the Titans. We'll give Robbie a call, the fine folks over there. We will hand Robbie that list, and we will entrust that Robbie will take that list of the 8 wide receivers that we think the Titans need to go get on the Jared and the GM show over to John Robinson. Or you could just text John if you want to.
I'm sure John gets a lot of those.
Yeah, but not
I used
from,
to. Hey, you need to draft this guy.
Not from the experts like guy. Us. The experts. Speaking of wide receivers, Drake is up next. I guess he's an expert. Go ahead, Drake.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm an MTSU student, so for the past couple seasons, I've been watching Richie James, and he's coming off a disappointing senior season because he did hurt his knee or something in his leg. But I feel that he would be probably a late third to mid fourth round pick, and we could use that first round pick for something like an interior offensive line.
What do you think? Thank you for the call, Greg.
Huh. You know what? To be honest, I remember the name and I remember seeing him last year. I don't remember. I think he must have missed most of this season. I'm trying to think when he got hurt.
I just don't like, again, you know, this, we have not figured out what our list of 8 receivers are going to be. And if Richie James makes the list, then Richie James is one of the 8 and we'll take that list to John Robinson. But again, we have not done the homework on the 8 wide receivers to know if Richie is on the list or not.
Correct.
I mean, this is, you're going to watch the combine, all the receiver drills. We're going to come up with our notes and then we'll look at the stats and then we'll talk it out, the two of us, and then we'll get to our 8. Again, we've got 2 trade candidates, 3 free agent candidates, and 3 draft candidates. And we'll go with a high draft pick, a medium round draft pick, and a low round draft pick. And those will be our 3 wide receiver choices. Now, if we put the 8 out there, John goes and gets 4 of them and they stink, then John's the one who gets fired and not us.
But we'll deserve to get fired.
Well, yeah. But, you know, I mean, it could be worse. We could be a show that talks about nothing for 4 hours every day, or we can be a show that is productive. Which one would you like to be?
I would go with productive.
Good. See, and that's what we need out of you in all of this is the productivity of Jared and the GM. You know, when we signed on to do this show, we talked about being entertaining, which I think we are, but now we need to help the community. And imagine, what if one of our guys on our list is the next Terrell Owens and the Titans draft him and all of a sudden the Titans go to the Super Bowl next year and win because they took this guy in the 3rd round who's become an absolute superstar. Would that not make you feel like you've helped this community?
Yeah, sure.
Now, it's time to give you guys an update at what's going on out at the Honda Classic presented by PXG Golf Clubs. You can get custom fitted in Nashville at Gaylord Springs Golf Links.
Where's the Honda Classic?
Palm Gardens, Florida.
Palm Gardens.
Yes, visit pxg.com for more information. The latest at the Honda Classic from Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Right now, Alex Noren is in a 3-way tie for first with Webb Simpson and Mackenzie Hughes. They're all 4 under. Both Simpson and Noren have finished. Meanwhile, Hughes is through 17. And there's a handful of Americans, Morgan Hoffman, Justin Thomas, Daniel Berger, and Russell Henley, that are all tied for second, which I guess is technically 4th, at 3 under. This update of the Honda Classic brought to you by PXG Golf Clubs. You can get custom fitted in Nashville at Gaylord Springs Golf Links. Visit pxg.com for more information. The Preds play the Sharks tonight. Pekka is going for win number 300. And coming up next, I'm worried, Floyd. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.